Welcome back to Witch Church. It's your host, Mal. I'm a professional astrologer, tarot reader and teacher, and intuitive healer. And you're about to listen to the recording of Witch Church Live, a sermon that I give to my Instagram community every week. Feel free to catch the live show every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central on IG Live, or listen to the recording right here on the podcast. This is a non-denominational weekly service for witches, astrology nerds, and anyone else who feels like they are being called to walk the spiritual path. At Witch Church Live, we talk all about the weekly astrological and tarot forecast, and really anything else that is channeled through me about the week ahead. Oh, and you'll probably hear about my random life updates and some rambly life stories mixed in as well. I hope that's okay. If this podcast brings some kind of value or joy to your life, be sure to leave me a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And feel free to send this podcast to a friend if you feel like they could benefit from listening. If you feel called, you can also support the production of this podcast and my other creations on Patreon for as little as $5 a month and get access to my secret YouTube channel with a bunch of extra astrology and tarot content. And if you would like me to hold space for you on your spiritual path, you can book an astrology session, tarot reading, or distance Reiki healing on my site, MalloryHasty.com. I would be honored to be your guide in some way. All of the links to my site and my social media are in the show notes. Have a magical week, my friends, and thank you so much for listening. Mercury stationing direct is kind of like, it's almost like Mercury is standing still and turning, right? Like really slowly, or like really slowly starting to get his footing again. So like a Mercury direct station isn't necessarily the vibe of Mercury speeding ahead, right? But I think it kind of depends what school of thought you're from. But do be wary of any astrological advice that's kind of like, Mercury's direct, get your shit together, like you should be jumping off the walls with motivation. Don't necessarily think that's the vibe with this Mercury direct, but granted, I am excited either way that Mercury is finally direct, because this Mercury retrograde has been, oh my god, like it's just been probably one of the toughest for me mentally that, I mean, in a while. Do I say this every time? I don't, like, I don't know. I don't know if I say this every time, but I don't remember the last time a Mercury retrograde was this difficult in the sort of emotional, psychological, upper chakra realm. Okay, Quinn, you said same. Okay, good. So I'm not alone. Wow. Like, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear stories. But also, weirdly, a lot of impending change is coming up in October. Like, really, really big shifts that I am going to make in my life that I've been kind of manifesting for a while. So these things aren't unrelated, right? Like the fact that I just went through this really anxiety-inducing Mercury retrograde, and now I'm about to kind of go upon the fool's journey again, like, you know, it makes sense, right? We always have some really tough psychological maybe tension or even resistance when we're about to break a cycle, make a big change. you know, I think that's the time when our inner child might start to protest and be like, it's not safe, you know, like, it's not safe to move forward, or this is really scary, I need to stay where I'm comfortable. But in this moment, it was really a struggle between my inner child and sort of my adult self, and knowing whose voice is whose, you know, because there's a difference between your adult self saying moving forward is not aligned versus the inner child saying moving forward feels really scary and I don't feel safe. You know, there's a difference between those two things. So this Mercury retrograde was a lot like that. I don't know if anybody relates, but that was kind of my vibe. But today, Mercury stations direct. Mercury stations direct at about 24 degrees Virgo, which is, funny enough, the exact degree of my Chiron. So that's kind of funny. And at 24 degrees Virgo, Mercury is at an opposition with Neptune. So I kind of like this because even though Mercury stationing days are a little bit slow, they're a little bit like we're kind of getting our wheels out of the mud, just starting to be able to speed up again. The opposition with Neptune is also adding another layer to this Mercury station because potentially there's clarity that's coming to us. If this Mercury retrograde has included an anxiety-inducing decision, you know, or if this Mercury retrograde has included a lot of psychological turmoil or whatnot, I could see this Mercury stationing opposition to Neptune being clarity coming through. You know, despite the fear, despite the anxiety, despite some inner child protesting, we feel more clear about the way that we are heading, where we are going, okay? So I'm glad that we're meeting on this day when Mercury is stationing direct. What have you guys been feeling into, tapping into with your Mercury retrograde journey? Because I just feel like it's just been such a big time. The other thing that came to me during this Mercury retrograde, and this is partially linked to something one of my astrology teachers said, Achyuta Bhava, who's now going back to his name, Adam Ellenboss. So he said one time in a video of his, like, that people ask him a lot, like, how are you so successful as an astrologer? Because he's, you know, extremely successful with the classes that he produces, and really his career is something that I strive for, like, in a lot of ways. Like, you know, his sort of client practice and what he does with his students, and you know, I really look up to him in multiple ways, not just with his business, but also with his spiritual practice. And anyways, in one of these YouTube videos, he was answering a Q&A, and he was saying, you know, someone asked him, how have you been so successful? And he said, he's not sure, but it all comes back to his dedication to his spiritual practice. And I was like, I kind of had an aha moment, because I think if I were to describe the last, like, 2 or 3 months, it's been like, not being very dedicated to my spiritual practice, followed by an intense period of anxiety with Mercury retrograde, followed by a big change. Like, yeah, that's kind of been the soup I've been journeying through. And, you know, going back to what he said, like, success was in his spiritual practice, I was like, oh my gosh, like, I've been really not very anchored in my spiritual practice, and I think that has linked to this greater feeling of anxiety, mistrust, just feeling disconnected from my own sense of self-trust. And it just kind of clicked for me. I was like, oh God, like, of course, like, I've been kind of slacking on that, and now my fear stories that play like a record, they're back. You know, it's kind of like if you had a physical ailment that you took medication for, and what's gonna happen if you stop taking that medication? Like, that physical ailment is gonna flare back up. So for me, there's like at least 5, if not 10, fear stories about different things in my life, mostly about like career and the choices I've made, and, you know, the financial repercussions of the choices I've made. You know, like, there's just some entrepreneurial fears, fear stories that kind of go on. And there's certain fear stories that no matter how much physical material evidence I have, they will still grip me. Okay, like, that's the thing. Like, I was journaling about this, and I was like, this year has been a really big year for my career in some ways. Like, I was able to go to 2 astrology conferences. OPA awarded me one of the most promising astrologer grants. I'm a member of the OPA board. I might be one of the youngest members that has ever been on the OPA board. I've had regular clients, you know, like, that kind of thing. Like, there's been some really big shifts, and I'm not saying any of this to brag at all. It's more like, all of this has happened, and yet, still, the exact same fear story about me and my life is still present. Doesn't matter. I could be 3 years ago, Mal, just starting on her journey, versus now, someone who is a little bit more, like, established in my business, like, not established to the point where I'm making the big bucks or anything, but you know what I mean. Still, same fear story on repeat, okay? And that's something that this Mercury retrograde has brought up. Like, it was kind of like, well, maybe there is no complete destruction of the fear story itself. And maybe it's not necessarily something that we entirely get rid of through meditation or through whatever spiritual practice floats your goat. But maybe it is just something that it's like a constant thing that you're kind of bringing awareness to. And that kind of brings me to the card that kind of came up for this Mercury stationing direct. And we have the Devil. And the Devil is, I think, our fear stories that come from our shadow selves. You really want to tap into the Devil? Well, I mean, nobody really wants to really tap into the Devil, but like, the devil is every fear story, every narrative that is rooted in shame, or I'm not capable, or I can't trust for this to work out, all of that stuff. And truly, the only mitigation for those devil fear stories is kind of our spiritual practice, even our dedication to the new narratives that we're building. And I think there's something about that right now with the Mercury stationing direct opposite to Neptune. We're trying to take a hold of our minds once again, you know, like we're trying to take a hold of our narratives once again. We're starting to see our fear stories not as us, but just something outside of ourselves. Like, you know, and that's when I get the most anxious, when I forget that. Like, when I start to identify so heavily with the emotional soup of the fear story, that's when I, like, lose it. And I just completely default back into the devil mindset, quote unquote. And we all have a devil mindset. And it probably all kind of has the same root, right? But, you know, right now, I think we're arriving back to this feeling of, you know, I am stronger than my fear narratives. I have the capability to put in place these new narratives, even if I don't believe them, right, quite right away, you know, or even if me doing my spiritual practice doesn't make me immediately feel better, I still have the power to do it, you know, like all of that kind of stuff is arriving back to us. And we're kind of, you know, spirit is showing me us like tying our shoes or tying our boots and getting ready to go back on the journey again after a little bit of a scary night through the woods where we kind of lose it. Like we lose our sense of trust, faith. We lose our narratives that we're striving for, and we just allow ourselves to default. Again, no shame in defaulting back to the program, if you will. I've definitely done that in the past 3 weeks, if not the past 2 months. It's been hard to really see myself outside of the default program. But now I kind of am getting the feeling that we're moving back into the narratives that we're really striving for. Katie, you said, I've been pulling the devil and the Ten of Swords like mad. Okay. Yes. Emmy, you said that's exactly what I needed to hear. Al, you said totally. I'm shifting through my shadow work lately, and it's been easier seeing it from an objective point of view. Yeah. And Sam, you said, for me, tarot is the ultimate tool in working through my shadows and fears. Totally. Sam, you kind of reminded me of a tarot spread. I forget if I... did I give this to our tarot class? It's something that... it's a two-card spread that I learned from Lindsay Mack's podcast, like, a long time ago. And it's just two cards. It is what is real and what is imagined, right? So, like, how many times, like, I've done that spread and, like, what is real is something like the Eight of Pentacles or, like, the Nine of Pentacles. Like, you know, a card that's just kind of like, you're fine. Like, just keep going along. Like, so that's the real card. And then what is imagined is, like, the devil, right? Like, it's kind of that. It's that vibe. this Mercury retrograde has not been, you know, completely honest with what is actually happening right in front of us. Also, something I also was thinking about during this Mercury retrograde, like the default of thinking the worst case scenario, which is very devil vibes, right? And for some reason, like, most of you know that, like, my main battle has been kind of like finding a place and to move out and where the location is, and I finally have kind of made progress on that, and that's finally gonna change soon, and I'm excited. But when I was maybe like 3 weeks ago or so, might have been like a month ago, my friend Alex, they texted me out of the blue, and they were just like, "Mal, I can't wait for you to, you know, find your own place. It's gonna be so good for you, and I just think your life is gonna get so much better." And literally received this text from them while I was, like, kind of about to go on, like, a walk, and I just, like, wasn't feeling good at all about my situation, and I was doomsdaying the whole process. And, you know, there was this dichotomy about my worst case scenario versus what Alex texted me, which was the sort of, I don't even want to say the best case scenario, because maybe that wasn't even best case. Maybe that was more closer to the truth or the reality of what is happening right now. Yet, how easily can our fear stories paint kind of a morphed reality that may or may not be true at all, right? So I'm actually thinking let's do that Lindsay Mack spread, like, what is real right now and what is imagined. And that actually feels kind of funny with, like, Mercury stationing you know, direct opposite Pluto. It is a very what is real and what am I imagining kind of transit. All right, so let's see. Oh, okay. Okay, this is interesting. So, what is real and what is imagined? Okay. Okay, a couple different interpretations are kind of coming to me. First of all, I think this mix is saying at this, you know, it's kind of communicating something about how what is real and what is imagined, we're kind of bridging the gap between those two things. Like, they're not so different. You know, it's not like we pulled the Ten of Swords and the Magician. You know, we pulled the Two of Cups and the Magician. And what is real right now is funny that the Magician is Mercury. But what is real right now is, I think we're kind of collecting our evidence, collecting our tools, and collecting what we need in order to move forward. And we're actually realizing that we already have all of these tools. And I also think what is real as well is maybe a sense of motivation, if not motivation, maybe more optimism, if not optimism, more trust, okay? Like, even trust in a neutral sense, I think, is returning to us. Now, what is imagined being the Two of Cups? I don't necessarily think this is a bad thing, but I think we have to realize that right now what really matters is our agency and our individual agency. The imagination might lead us into thinking in the terms of, you know, if only this would happen. If only I got this to validate me. You know, if only this fell into place, and then I would be able to live my life. That's a very popular story in my life and many other people's lives, right? But it's not about that. It's not about acting from a place of, if only this came through. You know, if only I met this person, this opportunity. If only I got this or that. It's not about that. It's really about taking exactly what you have in this moment, which is the magician, and working with it. Not imagining that the solution is outside of yourself. But this Mercury stationing direct is saying a big part of the solution is the narrative that we are offering. You know, the narrative we are offering ourselves, the narrative that we are offering the world. This isn't necessarily me saying, like, our thoughts, you know, completely govern reality. You know, like, I think there's a little bit of, like, spiritual bypassing in that statement. But it's kind of like an and, but we really have to be aware of what we are authoring for ourselves in this moment. And the magician kind of helps us get back to our sense of the narrative that we want to have about our lives, about our situation, the narrative that is not extreme, the extreme worst case scenario, right? Oh, Sam, you said, notice how the magician only has one cup. Totally. And Emmy, you said, the two cups, I feel like I am imagining that someone or something is going to swoop down and help me, but I really have the tools to help myself. Yes, yes. That very much, I think, is what's kind of being communicated. And Ellis, you said, two of cups feels on brand for Libra season, right? Like, Libra season out of all the seasons, we might be waiting for, yes, someone else to, like, save us, or someone else to come in with the solution. And while that could be the case, I say this all the time, like, this is gonna be on my gravestone, but someone else, like a connection or an idea that's given to you by someone else, could actually be a part of the solution, but still, it's not going to come in by, like, Santa Claus. You know, it's not going to come in just, like, sitting on your front doorway wrapped in a present. Even to get to the solution being brought to you by or through another person or an opportunity, we still have to take action. You know, like, we still have to, like, reach out to that connection and be like, hey, do you want to grab coffee? Or, you know, switch up our flow a little bit so we give ourselves the opportunity to run into something different. And this also is giving me you know how that saying, it's like, nothing changes if nothing changes. that has felt really prominent to me lately. Like, the idea that we really can't expect the external to dramatically shift if we're not willing to change something. That would literally be like, I don't know, like, if your job was painting the walls yellow every single day, and every single day you get up and you say, like, I wish these walls were a different color, yet you pick up the yellow paint and start painting every day. Like, literally nothing is going to change if you don't have the agency, which is the magician, to go to the paint store and pick out a different color. But in doing that, that challenges all of our ego stories, all of our inner child fears, and that's why doing that can be so scary. So that's kind of the vibe right now, my friends. Remembering that, even our fear stories, which was kind of the first card, even our fear stories might feed us the narrative that the perfect time is coming. The Two of Cups. The perfect opportunity is coming. It's not the right moment, you know, or whatever. You guys kind of have discernment with what I'm saying, because sometimes we really do need to pull back and kind of wait. But sometimes, a lot of the times, those stories are fears, right? Like, so I think this also goes with the magician, what is real right now versus what is imagined, the Two of Cups. What is real is, you know, the magician knows that timing is very much connected to his own free will, you know? Timing is connected to his own inner alignment. And I do agree, though, Alana, that it's important to have patience. And we have needed to be patient in this Mercury retrograde time period as well. Yeah, there's something about where do I need to have patience for the situation versus where have I waited it out so long that now, like, it's just an excuse, you know? That feels to me kind of what comes through. Lauren, you said this is the perfect spread as we energetically transition to moving forward again. Yeah. Absolutely. And another big shift that happens this week, I forget if I've mentioned this already, but not only does Mercury station direct today, October 2nd, but I believe it's either October 8th or 9th, Pluto will station direct. And this is maybe the last time Pluto will station direct in Capricorn, because Pluto will soon be leaving Capricorn in about 6 months. So, I know that doesn't seem very soon, but Pluto has been in Capricorn for a very, 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 very long time, years. And Pluto is the slowest moving planet. So the fact that the slowest moving planet is also finishing up some kind of karmic cycle in Capricorn, I think that is something that is also relevant to this week. We don't typically feel an outer planet station unless it is really close, I think, to one of our angles in our chart. Like, for instance, Pluto at 26 cap, that is exactly on my descendant, so I probably am gonna feel it on a personal level. Like, if you have angles at 26 of the cardinal signs, 26 cap, Cancer, Aries, or Libra, or have planets at those points, you actually might kind of feel that shift of Pluto going direct. But regardless, there's some moving forward energy. There's some shifts. Despite the other planets that are still retrograde, despite Mars in its shadow, its retrograde shadow, which we'll talk more potentially about next week and as October kind of progresses. But there's something that's shifting us. There's something that's kind of slingshotting us. It's a slow slingshot, though. Alana, you said finding balance. Absolutely. That is the gift of Libra season. Emmy, you said thank God by Pluto. Yeah, by Pluto. And speaking of Libra season, one thing I'll mention too, I just posted this on my YouTube and podcast, but there's a Venus has moved into Libra, and I think Venus in Libra is going to kind of help us out with a few things this month in October, including finding balance, which sounds kind of cheesy and maybe a little bit like, oh, that's what everybody says about Libra. But I think it really is true, especially with the Sun in Libra, Venus in Libra. Mercury will soon move back into Libra. I think that's October 10th or October 11th. And we have that Libra energy to kind of stabilize us throughout this moment. I'm cheesy as hell too, Alana. So it's like, it's this feeling of, maybe finding balance is actually another way of saying finding stabilization. And I think a lot of us are stabilizing, not necessarily material things, but it's like the internal things we're stabilizing. We're stabilizing like the biggest fear narratives that we have that keep occurring with the narratives that we actually want to have. I think that might be something that we're kind of working on. Okay. Maybe one more card for this week. Maybe we'll ask, like, what is the secret ally of this week that can kind of help us as we transition out of Mercury retrograde. King of Swords. Yeah, okay, that makes sense, because the King of Swords is actually really good at timing and is really good at discerning when it is time to push forward versus when it is time to pull back. And I think I was watching Rick Levine's October forecast on YouTube, and something that he said really resonated about Mars in Gemini. He said during Mars in Gemini, the retrograde and just even the transit in general, whether Mars is retrograde or direct, he said something like, Mars in Gemini, we have the tendency to take on too much or scatter ourselves to the point where we don't know what our focus is, or we just feel a little bit burnt out. And I think that can be true. I read for a couple different people with heavy Gemini placements, and that was also a theme. Like, I have so many things that I'm interested in, but what thing is, like, what I'm really launching myself into and focusing on? So I think the King of Swords this week will kind of help us with any scattered energy we may have been feeling over the Mercury retrograde period. And maybe we're finding a focus again, or being able to motivate ourselves towards one or two things instead of feeling scattered and discombobulated by having 10 different things on our plate. That could be the challenge with a lot of the Mars retrograde stuff, though. So that's what I have for you, my friends, this week. I think it's going to be the start of a very, very, very transformative, change-filled month, and I'll be excited to hear about what's kind of going on with you. Let's pull on a few cards for everybody. If you have a question or want me to pull on an aspect of your life, please comment it below. And if you just need some good vibes or a prayer from me / the collective Witch Church community, feel free to share that below as well. I think that will be good. So we have a lot of prayer power in this group. Pam. Jess, I'm excited for a reading tomorrow too. Cool. So this was for Pam. Okay, so Pam, you said you'd like a card for the week ahead, and we have the Fool. By the way, I forgot to say this, my books are open for October, so get on those books if you need a little check-in. Also, I hope to make that October tarot spread offering soon, so hopefully you see that on Instagram in the next couple days. All right, Pam, you got the Fool. So I really am getting, Pam, like, there's a breath of fresh air that's kind of coming into your life, whether that's, it almost feels like an attitude about life that feels fresh and that feels new and exciting. And I kind of like this perspective shift for you. And the Fool really gives us permission to try something new. However, the Fool himself is so trusting in the universe that he doesn't really even need to ask permission. Like, he just does it, and he just goes into the new experience. So allow yourself to experience newness. Allow yourself to do some of the things that you've been talking about doing for a while. Allow yourself to even dream about what else could be possible. But I think this is like a really good sign that you're kind of getting your mojo back after a little bit of a difficult period, or just feeling ready to launch yourself into a fresh new outlook. Lauren, you said, I'd love an anchor card as Mercury stations. Yeah. Okay, Lauren, you have the Three of Swords in reverse. So this particular Mercury station could be hitting your chart in a way where there's like a lot of things that are being released and purged. Lauren, I forget your rising sign, but so I'm not sure which house Libra is for you. But I kind of like to see the Three of Swords, because especially in reverse, because it shows us that we are finally maybe letting go of some sort of tension in our hearts specifically. And we've either cried it out or purged it or taken like a long nature walk or just like really felt the feels. And now we are ready to kind of move on. And, you know, it kind of evokes the feeling that, you know, we have after we cry. Like, if you've ever let something off of your chest, like you called a friend and you feel so much better after the conversation because you've emptied something that's been heavy. So there's something like that going on, Lauren, but it's a good kind of purge. Okay. Irma, you said, message from spirit. Yes, let's see here. Okay. Oh, Irma. Okay, so some big things coming up for you. Judgment. Judgment sometimes is the point of no return, where we sometimes have like a really big realization in the judgment card. A realization that often has to do about our life path and the values that we have on our life path and what we really want out of life. And the judgment card really has us, you know, having this moment where we're evaluating, like, is this job really in alignment with my values and what I want to get out of life? Is this person really in alignment with what I want out of life? Etc., etc. That is really what the judgment card evokes. So I think if you are going through a big shift right now, Irma, just the question of what are my values and what feels non-negotiable for me, and how do I start walking with those non-negotiables instead of ignoring them, and really just, I think there's something to be faced, but it is ultimately bringing you back into greater alignment with your path. Okay. Katie, you said, so fabulous. Thanks for centering as always, Mal. I'm blissful I caught you live. I would love to have a card for the week ahead. All right, perfect. I'm glad that you caught me live too, Katie. Let's see. Okay, Katie, Five of Swords. Okay, so the Five of Swords, I think, can be surrounding some kind of trigger or moment of dysregulation that oftentimes comes through a person or a situation. Now, it's not to say that every person who triggers or dysregulates us is a bad person or bad influence on our lives, right? Oftentimes, it's the opposite. Like, oftentimes when someone triggers us, it's not really about them at all. It might be from some kind of unhealed part of our past, right? Like, I don't know, like a dumb example is, let's say you had a past partner who was super avoidant and never checked in, right? And now maybe you have a new partner who usually does a really good job about checking in, but in the past couple days has been kind of distant because he was on a work trip or something. So that can be like a Five of Swords moment where we get triggered, like, into the past, and we're like, oh my God, like, is the past repeating itself? And we start to see, it's almost like this deja vu thing where we're like, wait, are you the person that's in my life in the present moment, or are you the person from the past? You know, we kind of get all discombobulated. But I think, Katie, you're kind of deciphering this week, you know, what is this trigger about? What is the deeper root of this trigger? Sometimes it is about, you know, a person or a situation not being in alignment right now. But sometimes the trigger is more about a past situation that still is kind of being healed in your heart. Okay. Alana, you said, I would love some good vibes for the week, waiting to hear post-job interview. Oh, Alana, well, I'm in full agreement that, you know, really aligned opportunities just come to you really easily, and I'm in full agreement that all the good vibes come to you on the job end, and that the universe is lining you up with a really cool opportunity. So Emmy, you said, can I get some good vibes and prayers? My sister's dog died tragically this week, and I've been an emotional mess. Oh, Emmy, that's so hard. I'm sending you all the good vibes, and I know it can be so hard to regulate your nervous system after such a tragic moment. And I'm sending calming vibes of regulation to both you and your sister and any other family members that have been affected by this loss. And I'm in full agreement that doggy spirit has passed in, his soul has, or their soul has passed in the most peaceful way possible, and that they are now safe with spirit in the spirit realm, and feeling at peace. Okay. Ellis, What is my inner child or my shadow self trying to tell me? Okay, Five of Cups. Let me think about this for a second. I think, Ellis, you know, sometimes our inner child, is used to maybe bottling things up or not necessarily being able to regulate emotions because our caretakers as children maybe didn't know how to validate our emotions, right? Or maybe our caretakers were partially or entirely the source of our emotional dysregulation, which is even more traumatic, right? And sometimes that is the case. But I think maybe there's something about your inner child kind of waiting for you to be the validator of those emotions. And I think that is something that you've been working on. And sometimes it just takes time to create the new neural pathway. You know, sometimes it takes time to really feel like the inner child is connecting and hearing you say, like, yes, like, I hear the sadness, or like, I hear the anger, or I hear your fear, and I'm validating it. And this is what we have to look forward to, or like, this is the bright side of things, or this is the way things are changing for the better. Sometimes as well, like, the inner child needs a parent figure that can give them reassurance that everything is going to be okay. But if our parents were dysregulated all the time and everything was, you know, the end of the world and things were, you know, everything was crying over spilled milk, like, our inner child is always gonna be like, oh my god, what's happening? Like, there's no sense of everything's going to be okay. But what if you could give your inner child that, as well as the emotional validation that they need? Okay. Amelia, long time no talk. You said, I'm having a lot of friend troubles, so a card for that would be cool. Yeah. Amelia, you got the King of Pentacles. And this makes me think that maybe part of your friend troubles is related to maybe some of the emotional, spiritual growth that you've done as a person. And sometimes when that happens, not everybody is going to be on that same page or that same frequency as us, you know, like, and we can even have a friend who is able to, like, listen to us about, oh yeah, like, I've been growing in this way, or I've been realizing this. And like, that friend is able to be like, yeah, wow, awesome, I totally get it. But then they're not necessarily doing the same work as you are doing. And, even when it comes to the maturity of having a heart-opening conversation with a friend, or being open and honest about feelings and needs, sometimes we're just more available for that type of conversation than someone else. And I think the friend troubles aren't necessarily about you, Amelia, but I think they're more about your spiritual evolution and where you are on that, not in like a hierarchical kind of way, but yeah, versus other friends who aren't quite on the same level of awareness potentially. Okay, so I think the advice here at the King of Pentacles is really sitting in, yeah, your own spiritual practice, not letting this stuff deter you from doing your work, and not letting this moment create mistrust for you in the universe, and continue to kind of sit in in your power and your trust, and feels like you're like sitting like a meditative Buddha, and like all of these friends are kind of feeling a little bit more like a chaotic sort of energy where it's just not, I don't know, like it just doesn't it feels very scattered. Like if your friend's energy is scattered, you have the opportunity to be grounded. Okay. And also maybe don't go into any conversations with friends if you're not feeling grounded enough. Okay. Hope that helps in some way, Amelia. That message didn't make entire sense to me, so hopefully it makes sense to you. Bree, you said, I would love a card for my new government job and what seems like a great new relationship, but I'm sort of uneasy about both, and normally I'm okay with change. Cool. Bree, okay, the Lovers comes out. So I think there's something about this new job and this new relationship. It's mirroring maybe a more evolved version of yourself back to you. Maybe this new relationship has more potential to be emotionally fulfilling. Maybe there's a lot of potential for healthy communication. You know, hopefully this person is a person who's working on themselves and their self-awareness. And, you know, that's kind of big to meet someone with that frequency that you have. And also the new job most likely is going to require new responsibilities from you. And all of this is kind of relating back to your perception of yourself. And I think there's a little bit of imposter syndrome maybe going on with what these things are mirroring back to you. Like, am I really capable of these things? Are these things really right? Are these things really in alignment? And both of these things are a reflection of the inner work that you've been doing. And now you just kind of have to trust it. And you also have to trust yourself that if something isn't right, especially on the relationship front, trust yourself that you'll know it in the moment, right? Like, I don't know that, like, if something happens that's like not floating your goat, trust yourself that you'll be able to handle it in that moment. That's like kind of all we can do when we're building trust in a new relationship, like really taking someone at face value, taking someone, you know, trusting them as much as we can until they give us a reason not to. Like, that's how I feel about the Lovers right now. Like, you're still collecting data about this person, but it doesn't mean that they're not trustworthy. Maybe we're just still in, like, the knowing each other phase, I think. Okay, Bree, hopefully that makes sense. I would love a card for the week and a prayer to send my daughter off. May this trip be the answer she is looking for. Okay, Alexandra, I'm in full agreement that this is a great trip for your daughter, and that this trip brings her in more alignment with herself. And your card of the week, Alexandra, is the Three of Cups. I like this card. You know, I'm hearing the Bob Marley song, the Three Little Birds song. So it's like the, you know, don't worry, every little thing is going to be all right. So maybe put on some Bob Marley this week. I often think he's a really healing musical spirit, and I don't say that about a lot of musicians. But also Three of Cups is celebration. It's learning that, you know, focusing on the things that make us feel good. And also, you know, making a point to hang out with the friends and, you know, cultivating your own social life, Alexandra, I think is going to be a really good way to keep yourself focused this week. Like, giving yourself little things to look forward to and not getting too bogged down by the heavier stuff. Okay. Sam, you said, sending lots of love to you, Mal. Oh, thanks. I would love a card for my trip home to Minnesota this week. I hope it is MS Minnesota. I'm like the worst at the state algorithms. All right. Sam, Page of Cups. Oh, awesome. So I think it's going to be a beautiful trip to kind of connect with your inner child and maybe even going on a little bit of an inner child play date, like going to the places that you love to eat as a kid or going to the park you went to as a kid or whatever it is. Like, you know, let your inner child lead the way with this trip, and also let new creativity kind of arrive back to you with this trip. You know, allowing creative inspiration to come through from, you know, just being connected to the earth and being connected to the land that you are kind of interacting with. So I'm excited for this trip. It feels like a good moment to refill your cup, Sam. Oh, Lauren, that's right. You are a Cancer rising. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense, Lauren, with everything that you've been talking about. And Sarah, you said, I'd love a card for a work trip I have this week. Yeah. Page of Pentacles. Okay. So, I think for this work trip, Sarah, I think there's some curiosity and there's a lot of potential that you can kind of embody with this work trip. I'm not sure if you're going to be meeting a lot of new people or maybe learning a new skill or if this is like a new city or something, but the page is here. So regardless of whether this is a new or old city that you've never been to, I think the Page of Pentacles specifically sees things with fresh eyes and is able to offer the ideas that really shift our perspective. And I think you could be a really great tool at whatever trip or conference that you're going to be at this week, because you're going to be offering ideas that no one else had thought about before. And I think you're gonna trust your ideas. Like, even if there's some maybe older people who are more used to like the way things have been done, you're actually there to kind of disrupt that in a really positive way. So don't be afraid to like kind of come through with the newer ideas or the ideas that might be a little bit more like off the beaten path. I think that's what the universe is kind of wanting from you right now. Okay. Irma, you said, I appreciate you, Mal. Thank you. And Amelia, you said, I'll do some King of Pentacles thinking today. Awesome. Bree, you said, I feel that so much. Trust ourselves. Yes, yes. Amelia, you said, sometimes trusting ourselves means knowing we can survive the shit that gets thrown at us. Yep, yep. Oh, Sam, you said the trip will be with my kids and nieces. Oh, that's such a Page of Cups vibe. I love it. Alexandra, you said, thanks, Mal, for the hopeful sermon and the message from Spirit. I started dancing with Bob Marley. Awesome. Sending love and blessings for this week. Awesome. And Sarah, you said, right on, Mal, totally resonates. Ah, well, you guys are the best. I'm glad that I was able to be of service to you in some way this week, and keep me updated on your Mercury retrograde, well, I guess Mercury direct stationing stories, and I'll do the same for you. And as far as I know, we'll see each other next week. And if we have an appointment this week, I look forward to seeing you. If you would like to make an appointment, my October books are open. Okay, friends. Sending all the good vibes to you. Talk soon.